BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DiMarella.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole earth in his hand. He's got the whole earth in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our buddy over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's our YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. I'm, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash co-host, Sir Rockins.
I am here. We are one. We are one.
Are we the core or are we the Nexus?
This would be the Nexus theme.
Well, I know it's the Nexus theme, but which one are you and I?
We would be the Nexus, because we're awesome.
Sweet, I get Husky then. Is it wrong that it's we are the Undying Sons, and I'm like, y'all totally, just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The group just died a hard, hard, horrible death that it did not deserve, sadly.
It really, really did, but you can see the debut of the Nexus on the WWE Network right now for only $9.99.
Ding! So we have a lot to get into on tonight's show, including some breaking news that came out as we were coming to air, which we'll get into here in a moment, but we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT. There was a new GM named. The main event for TakeOver was set. And yeah, lots to get into there. And of course, we have our discussions. We're going to be talking all about TNA's TV stuff. Yes, there is more news concerning that. We're going to be covering that late in the show. And since we did not have a post show this week, because, well, somebody's internet decided to go kaput.
Yeah, it went kaput when someone, it looks like they're digging up a pole, but that's a whole other story for another day. We had no post show.
Yeah, basically his internet melted, so there was no post-show. So we are going to be talking about Raw, more specifically the end of Raw, and what happened there. Because, yeah, not happy fangirl. Just, I'm going to go off, probably, warning everybody now. He's already heard the rant.
At least three times, which leads to, which leads to the question tonight. Do you agree with this decision that was made to make John Cena look strong this past Monday night on Raw?
No! But we'll get into that later.
Later.
In the show.
Later.
Right now.
Later. We'll get to that, yeah.
All right, now let's jump into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And of course, we have to talk about the biggest news, which is breaking currently And that is the condition of WWE legend and Hall of Famer Jake Roberts. It broke earlier today that he had passed out on an airplane. I believe it was last night when he was on his way to Las Vegas. He was rushed to a medical facility where he remained unconscious throughout today. We can go ahead and update you per DDP. That Dick is conscious, but he's fading in and out. He's at least conscious, but the doctors have described him in bad shape, and all I can say is, no, Jake, you can't go yet.
Yeah.
So
here's a little bit of the thing. So as I was just searching Twitter this afternoon, and I saw stories come up, and I started to do some digging. To update what Lindsay just put, before I get to the full story, to update what Lindsay said, he is out of the coma. He's in and out at the moment, but he's out of the coma. His immune system is very worn out just because of his health issues throughout the years. So he has double pneumonia at the moment, so he's going through that. But the story broke on Twitter. Wrestling Inc. had the story originally to source out the story. And then I did some digging. I was talking with Stevie J of Angry Marks, and we were trying to figure out to, you know, do the whole double confirmation type deal. And it sort of come out, PW Insider and Wrestling Observer have confirmed it. Kazarni, yeah, as Jersey Girl just said, is with him, yes. Kazarni is with Jake Roberts. Jake was coming in for Kazarni's birthday show or some sort, or anniversary show. In Las Vegas this weekend, so that's where he was. Jake's girlfriend is with him as well. So that's the update there. It's tough when you hear these things with a guy who's had so much, and he just fought cancer and beat it, by all accounts. So this is what happens when you get older and you have had a lifetime where you do a lot of damage to your inner organs. Stuff like this happens, especially when you're trying to fight off a disease. And it's like, I heard Kazarni talked to One Wrestling's Bill Apter earlier, and it's one of those things where he's fighting. He's a wrestler, so, oh, I'm alright, I can push through it. And this was one of those where he pushed through it, and just made himself worse. He wore himself down even more, and this is what sort of happened.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, and I know everybody is thinking of Jake and praying for him, and that he gets better, and hopefully he will, but it's just, it's an unfortunate situation. It's something you never want to hear.
This is very true.
You know, I don't know who thought it was a good idea for him to get on an airplane with pneumonia, but not cool, y'all. Not cool.
Well, he didn't think he had pneumonia. He just thought he was, you know, he was feeling under the weather, but he didn't realize he had pneumonia. He saw a doctor a couple weeks ago, and they really didn't know what was wrong with him.
That's not good. But here's hoping they can do something to possibly strengthen his immune system. I don't know if they can at this point, though.
I'm not pretty sure what you can do at this point. He's on antibiotics. Rob Feinstein's the one who said that he spoke to DDP and said that he's sort of coming out of it. He's just he's not all there right now. It's going to take him a while to fully recover if he's able to at this point.
Yeah, so thoughts and prayers to Jake the Snake. We hope you get better. Please get better. We're not ready for you to go just yet.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, it's one of those things where this is the one story you weren't expecting to break today.
Yeah, this is the one story you didn't want to break today.
No, no, really wasn't. And it just sort of, you know, came hours after the celebrity story of like, oh crap. So it's like back to back.
Yeah, Joan Rivers. So it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and
we said in the pre-show, Rob, stop.
Yeah,
stop.
Luckily, we don't have to blame him for anything at this point. So
just yet.
Just
hopefully
yet.
Never. But yeah, dude, no, stop. Corner. Now.
He already killed Santa. We'll talk about that on
No, we were not talking about Santa.
We're not getting into that. We're talking about it Saturday. That's what I was going to. We're talking about it Saturday. It's Blame Rob. It's Blame Rob. We'll talk about it Saturday on CB Radio, midnight-ish.
Kidding, Rob. Kidding.
Not really.
Anyway, moving on from that, let's go to the really what the other big news is for the week, which it has not been officially announced by WWE or Sci-Fi, but it was at least confirmed by Sci-Fi that it appears SmackDown is moving. It is leaving Friday night, and guess where it's going? It's going Thursdays, right before this show. So guess what that means, Rock?
What?
We're reformatting the show!
Oh, yay!
So starting at the beginning of October,
October 2nd,
you and I are going to be talking SmackDown.
On October 2nd, is according to the schedule on sci-fi.com, the story came out over the weekend, Monday, I think it would have been. I don't remember at this point. May have been before that. But it came, it may have been Saturday. And either way, it was reported and people were looking at it. It's like, I went on Sci-Fi's website to confirm for myself, and it's like, oh, there it is, October 2nd, that's a Thursday, SmackDown, 8 to 10, followed by Haven.
So, yay, we get to reformat the show. There is no news yet in terms of the WWE Network if NXT is going to move, because, as we all know, NXT airs from 9 to 10 on the network, and they certainly don't want their content competing, so it might be something NXT moves to a vacant spot on Wednesdays, or it's moved to Fridays to kind of help fill that void that SmackDown has left. So we'll have to see kind of how they reprogram the network a little bit to coincide with this, if they do anything at all. Please move NXT. Please, I can't watch two shows again.
It's not going to be like that. NXT and Superstars do air at 4 and 5, and then they re-air in prime time on Thursday night, which is when we end up watching it to begin with. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio as we cover NXT live. I would be okay with them moving it to Wednesday. That's selfish to move it to Wednesday so we can still cover it on this program, because I'm really enjoying covering NXT and have been since it's moved to the WWE Network for only $9.99 a month. Subscribe now.
Yeah, I agree. NXT is a lot of fun to watch. You get to see new and different talent that we don't get to see on the regular programming, and, you know, I would be pretty bummed if we didn't get to talk about it, because it's just one of those things that it's really fun to watch and talk about. Because they do a lot of stuff in NXT that they really kind of can't do on TV.
That and it's just, you see new stars and you're able to latch onto them early in their careers and basically watch them grow from the beginning and make their way to the roster. Which
is incredibly dangerous, because if you attach yourself and they don't make it, well, then things get ugly.
Things do get ugly, but we still Bo Leave and Bo Dallas, because he's awesome.
Dude, somebody just need to tell Shawn Michaels, he just got a Bo Leave, man. I mean, he was a downer Monday night.
He was. We'll get into Shawn later in the show. But yeah, I hope it is. I hope they move NXT and Superstars to Wednesdays, because that just seems like a better night to air it, especially because it's a one-hour program. It's very easy to sit and just watch. It's basically 50 minutes. Pretty good shit. It's worth it. Which, the only difficult part about moving it to Wednesdays would be when they do their live specials.
Yeah, but they can find a way around that.
Oh, yeah. They can tape that one. They can do that live whenever, but it's just one of those things. Huh, what day works best, Wednesday, maybe, or Friday for a live special? Maybe they could just do a live special on a Friday, who knows?
Yeah. So, you have to see. But speaking of the network, well, a show's already been canceled before it got off the ground.
Yeah, WWE Tough Enough will, as of now, doesn't mean in a year or two from now will be brought back, but as of now, the concept of bringing Tough Enough back on the WWE Network is off the books. The budget was slashed, we mentioned a while ago, when they did a bunch of budget cuts, and, well, as a result, they don't have enough money to do Tough Enough with the limited resources. So they figured, why do it with a limited resource? Let's do it full if we want to down the line. But now it's off the table because there's no reason to half-ass Tough Enough. Do it right.
Right, especially since they were changing the concept and using NXT talents and more following NXT talents, so we weren't going to see, you know, the very obvious kind of plants that we've had in the past. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of taking it back to what it was originally, which it was a reality show, but it was more or less sensationalized than what it was the last time. Not to say the last one wasn't good, but the last one or the original one was much more gritty and much more honest about wrestling, and I think that's what they're trying to take it back to, and they want to be able to do that right. So, you know, shelve it for a little bit, and, you know, when the time is right, bring it back.
I'm still a big fan of season one and season two.
Yeah. I think my favorite season was when they were doing, I forget which one, it was in the audition process, and I think it was Jackie Gata that they made her get in the fountain.
That was season two. Because she tried out for like season one, didn't make it, and she came back for season two, and then she jumped in the fountain. That was awesome.
Yeah, I remember that. But yeah, I remember it was much more gritty, and you really kind of got to see how it all works. You got that real behind-the-scenes glimpse of how they train, and especially to be able to see them do that in the Performance Center, that would be really cool. Because it gives you sort of that idea of what they go through on a day-in, day-out basis rather than kind of what Tough Enough was, which in the second reincarnation of it, that it was much more reality TV-based. There were more challenges. It was... You didn't get to see the ins and outs of wrestling.
Yeah,
you didn't get to see how they actually train for it.
Right. You got more of a back behind-the-scenes aspect in the earlier seasons.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, shelve it and move from there. And wait and see how things go, because with the network now going international, the money may be there.
When they can expand the budget, they'll bring it back.
Yes, and hopefully that budget wasn't relying on some money from WrestleMania 30 that went missing.
No, I hope not, because money's missing.
Money's missing. It came out this week that a WWE executive, what was his name?
Alan Rabhan, something like
that. Who was basically in charge of booking, like, the concessions and that kind of thing for the live events. He booked the concessions for WrestleMania 30, and he hired a company that had been bankrupt twice to do the concessions for WrestleMania 30, and not only were they understaffed and extremely disorganized, but a very large chunk of money was missing after the show was over.
Oops, yeah, the concessions were poorly staffed and disorganized, and yeah, they lost a bunch of money. He was responsible to he had some positives with the company. For the corporate side, he raised t-shirts at the live events from $25 to $30, if you bought a t-shirt at $30. You can blame him.
Yeah, I don't call that a positive. Just putting that out. Well, he jacked the price by $5.
For the company. He also saved them some money by having the merchandise go on the road with... travel with the crews, travel with the loads of merchandise instead of drop shipping it. Now they're going back to the original ways.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay.
It's okay, but yeah. He was let go a few months ago because he cost the company some money and probably some... bad PR while in town. I'm going, yeah, these concessions stuff.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate he got fired, but not good that money went missing and bad concessions.
Yeah.
That's for sure, especially it's your biggest show of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, when you have the most amount of people, it's like, hire a good company.
Yeah.
Might be a good idea.
I don't understand why he didn't use just the Superdome people, but...
Maybe they outsource as well.
It could be, yeah. It could be, but I don't understand why you wouldn't use the same company as that. You know, just bring in those people because they know what they're doing. But, okay. It's all in the books now. There's nothing more you can do about it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But other just some quick WWE notes real quick. RVD is leaving this week again. So he's going on vacation.
He's wrapping up, yeah. He wraps up tomorrow on SmackDown.
Yes. And, well, somebody else is leaving, but it's not because he wants to. It's because he's injured.
The big guy is hurt, but he has a thank you to the WWE Universe.
Oh. Hello. I'm WWE Superstar Ryback, the human wrecking ball, the former four-time WWE Champion, the big guy himself. Everybody loves the big guy. You may be asking yourself, why am I dressed up in this cool outfit? Well, I've been injured for some time. Been wrestling for about 7 months with a couple strained groins and 2 sports hernias. But you know, that's what we do. Call me selfish, call me crazy, call me an egotistical maniac. I do it for you guys, goddammit. The WWE Universe. The kids, the grandparents, the fathers, the mothers, especially for the mothers. Oh, the mothers love the big guy, what can I say? I'm going off on a tangent. I gotta get fixed. Gotta get some stuff right. Because I'm coming back. My good friend Babe Ruth, you might know him as the Bambino. He goes, big guy, never let the fear of striking out get in your way. And I can assure you, Babe, the big guy's coming back in a big way. And when I do, things are going to go my way. And everybody's going to know. Everyone. Right back.
The big guy, a former, apparently, 4-time WWE champion and good friend of Babe Ruth.
I was going to say, how much morphine did they pump him full? I'm a Jersey girl on this one. I mean, how many drugs had they given him at that point? Holy crap!
Yeah, so yeah, he's been working injured with the hernias and groin tears and stuff, so he's getting all fixed up. Should be out a few weeks, most likely the end of September, early October, according to reports.
Well, best of luck to him. I hope he feels get better. Please do not make any more videos while you are hyped up on really good drugs, apparently.
Yeah. staying on the injury front, a little bit of TNA. TNA Tag Team Champion Davey Richards, who suffered a broken leg about 10, 12 days ago, we reported last week. It's only a minor break, and he should be back in time at the earliest for the tapings in mid-September for TNA. So, lucky break for him. No pun intended, but just he has a minor break in the leg according to the x-rays, so it should heal up and he'll be alright to get back in the ring in the next 4 weeks. So that's good positive news for TNA, who he's being featured heavily in the TV in the next few weeks, so it's good that he'll be able to get back in the ring for the company.
Yes, definitely a good thing, so best of luck to him. I hope he feels better, but staying on this topic of feeling better, I bet Stacy Keibler's feeling better because, well, she just had a baby.
Yeah, she did. She gave birth. Just congratulations to Stacy Keibler and our fiancé husband. I believe she got married.
Yes, they're married.
So congratulations to them. They gave birth to a baby girl last week.
Yes, Ava Grace, which is a very pretty name.
Very pretty name. So congratulations to Stacy and her husband.
Yes. And the sweet little baby.
And the sweet little baby, yes.
Good job. 2 thumbs up. I don't know.
Two thumbs up and one final story. We've been reporting GFW news, so there's a little bit more to add to that story. Because they have some new partners in crime.
They do?
They do. Australian partners, to be exact. They have signed up with people in Australia and New Zealand, PWA, Australia out of Sydney, Russell Clash out of Melbourne, Riot City Wrestling out of Adelaide, and Explosive Pro Wrestling out of Perth, along with Impact Pro out of Auckland, New Zealand.
So basically they hit up Australia.
And New Zealand, yes.
So, you know, we have an Australian correspondent.
Yeah, he can, you know, get back in the ring and work for one of them, then he can work for GFW. There you go. That could get him to the States.
Dude, Mace, we found you a job.
So there you go.
So, yes, there you go. So that's the news. Short news segment this week. Yay! I don't know why I have a funny feeling this might be a short show. Especially after the 3-hour show we did.
I'm sorry about that. It's not going to be 3 hours.
No, we're not going 3 hours. No, I like my sleep. Thank you. So, on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT, including who is your brand new general manager. And, well, we're going to find out what the main event is for TakeOver. I can't wait. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Why? Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
I told you, I told you.
Gundam style. Loving the Gundam.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna
wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time.
on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless. I was made in America.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this! He's having a goal! I don't believe it!
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go! Once in a lifetime!
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you want to have him get chased by security again? Oh my god, what is wrong with you? You are so insensitive.
What?
You're playing Bo's music when we're getting ready to cover NXT. He's banned.
It's part of the theme.
But security's going to chase him.
I kind of want...
Don't you really want...
Yeah, I really, really do.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. Anyway, welcome back to The Crack right here on Wild Talk Radio. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at youtube.com/mbg1211. Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go there for all your wrestling action figure needs, because I got corrected last week.
Go, Wrestling Figure Wrestling for all your action figure needs.
Wrestling Figure Wednesdays.
Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. And it airs on 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central on the YouTubes every Wednesday and Friday.
Pretty awesome stuff. So now we're going to talk about tonight's NXT that was Bo Dallas free because, you know, they kicked him out. So sad. So, what happened?
The Ascension? Get this. They beat up two guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I totally didn't see that coming. Did they win?
As I wrote in my my notes, winners, Ascension. In parentheses, shocker.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to set you up. The announcers were talking about how this is a final tune-up for the Ascension, and Alex Riley compares them to the Shield.
Yeah. No. I like the Ascension. I think the Ascension are good. I would like to see them against some real competition to see how good they actually are, but they are not on the level of the Shield. Nobody is on the level of the Shield, okay? The Shield was lightning in a bottle. And if they were to reunite the Shield tomorrow, everybody would be happy. Except maybe them. But, yeah, nobody compares to the Shield. Alex, just don't. Okay?
We had a Let's Go Jobbers chant throughout the match. They did a double shoulder block at one point. They took the dude in the red, blue, black, and yellow power trunks, tossed them into the guy in the purple trunks, and I guess that resulted when his head touched them was a tag, and they took out the guy in the purple with the Falf Man.
Victor then said some stuff.
Then the other guy growled.
Yeah, okay. Don't let Connor talk. Just have Connor stand there and look mean. I say this every time they let Connor talk. Don't let Connor talk.
Basically, go ahead.
Just like beyond, I'm going to eat you.
Yeah. They talked about how the new contenders will be decided next week, but they begged the question, will they be truly contenders or just victims? And for a takeover, it'll just be another day. And they ended with, we will rise.
Yeah, so, well, who's going to be the ones to get, you know, basically destroyed by the Ascension? Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see, because, well, that didn't get decided tonight.
That's next week, and next week on this program, we will have our NXT TakeOver 2 preview.
Ooh. Ooh.
So there's something to look forward to. Up next, we have the announcement of the brand new general manager for NXT. It's one William Regal.
Yes!
He talked about how it's been an honor to be the new GM of NXT since he's actually been there since the beginning of the group. He announces that at NXT TakeOver, the NXT Championship will be on the line, and he called out the champion Adrian Neville. He congratulated Regal and said he's very proud of his fellow Englishman. He wants to know who's next. Fans started chanting Goldberg. Regal started to talk a little bit, and then he got interrupted by Tyson Kidd. And the fans were chanting at Tyson Kidd and said he was humble to be the number one contender, even though he was never mentioned that he was a contender. And, well, he says it will be a... that he will leave with the NXT Championship around his waist. Cue Tyler Breeze. He shows up. Breeze says that this uggo doesn't deserve a title shot. And he says everyone deserves a title shot. Tyler says everyone deserves a title shot before him, including his wife. That did not go sit well with Mr. Kidd.
Hey, Tyson, you need some cream for that burn? Maybe we should just call the fire department.
Cue Sami Zayn for coming out. He says, Breeze isn't right about a lot of things, but he's right about this. There are a lot of people more deserving than Tyson Kidd and even Tyler Breeze at being him, Sami Zayn. Neville says, well, everyone else got to talk, so let him talk. Well, he wants to face all three men, and he will. Because he wants to face Zayn, Kidd, and Breeze, and, well, Regal makes it official. It will be a fatal four-way at TakeOver for the NXT Championship.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
So, I like the promo. I like the setup. Good introduction of William Regal as the general manager. He'll add a lot because he's always awesome at what he does.
I love Regal as an authority figure. I think he's a fantastic authority figure, whether it was the commissioner back in the early 2000s and progressing forward for, I believe, the Alliance. Mm-hmm. I think he was involved with that and a few other things. But Regal, especially now, makes a very, very good authority figure. Because you don't have to do a lot to sell him as one. It's William Regal. Everybody just automatically buys it. And it's like, you know, can we just have him be the GM of everything?
Right, he's very credible. We weren't done with William Regal. He was backstage. He talked about how he made the match for TakeOver, but he figured out something needs to be done tonight. And it makes Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville versus Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd as the main event for this program.
Hey, not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
But yeah, great choice in William Regal. Definitely hope that he plays a major part in their TV. My only, really only qualm with this, and I hope this is the last time that this happens, is Tyson Kidd's getting another shot. What has Tyson Kidd done to deserve another shot? I demand answers. If my internet didn't die. Or if my co-host didn't leave me. Which he kind of did. So, okay. Try to throw it to him and he walks off. Love it. So, yeah, that's really my only issue with this is that I think it's okay for WWE talent to come down to NXT and work the talent down there because it gives them a higher level of talent to work with. Not to say that talent down there isn't bad, but it's just they're all at the same point kind of in their careers and they all kind of work the same style. So it's good for them to have someone that's been out on the road for a few years to come down and have a veteran work with them. And I have no problem with somebody doing that. You know, Natty and Charlotte put on a great match. My issue is giving Tyson Kidd a push in NXT. Why?
Because he's not getting a push on Raw or SmackDown?
Why not push him on Raw or SmackDown?
Because they don't see him as the star on Raw or SmackDown?
Why not have him go out there with his wife? Why, you know what is wrong with having him be Mr. Natty Neidhart? I'm really kind of curious. We can have Mrs. Daniel Bryan. Why can't we have Mr. Natty Neidhart? No offense to Tyson Kidd, but I mean, seriously, it's painfully obvious at this point that his wife is going to be more successful than he is. So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's something of, if you want to push him, if you want to make him into something, push him on Raw or SmackDown. And like I said, I don't have a problem with him coming down and working the talent in the NXT. What I have a problem with is him getting a title shot. Repeatedly getting a title shot, I should add. Like, one, okay, fine. Two, it's like, what have you done? As I tried to throw it to you earlier and you left, what has he done to deserve a second one?
He's giving us after. Didn't he beat the champion a couple weeks ago? Maybe. No, he lost to him. He lost to him.
I mean, he cost Breeze. You have more for a Breeze kid feud than you have anything else. But yeah, that's my only real issue with it. You know, otherwise, I'm really excited to see the match because it will be a really good match. There's no question.
Hopefully he doesn't walk out champion.
Yeah, if he wins, yeah, you're gonna hear a rant on this show like you have never heard before. There are gonna be F-bombs dropped left, right, and center where that's just how we're gonna open the show because I'm gonna need to let it out and we go on the air right after NXT. So I'm warning everybody now. Put the kids to bed if Tyson Kidd wins that title. Okay? We cool? Alright. So, this mini rant brought to you by Wild Talk Radio. So, what happened after that?
Sasha Banks versus Bayley. The announcers talked about how Sasha was mentioning that she got lucky. Bayley got lucky in the first match, and it opened up with a Bayley's gonna hug you chant, which Bayley got a kick out. Sasha shelved and then slapped Bayley to start, and Bayley went right after driving her into corner. Sasha was able to drive Bayley's head into corner and has worked her over for a while in said corner. Did the double knee in the corner, which always looks like it hurts, and then did a double stomp as well. Led to a 1.5 count. She locked in the cross arm choke. She choked Sasha with her foot at one point in the corner, trying to choke her out, and just started beating on her. She was standing on Bailey's head at one point. Bailey though came back with a big forearm. Sasha was coming off the ropes. Bailey stopped mid, was running the same way, stopped, caught her belly to Bailey for the victory.
Yay, Bailey!
And then, this is where the fun really began. So we heard from, you know, Bayley, the number one contender.
At NXT TakeOver, you will be facing Charlotte for the NXT Women's Championship. What would it mean to you to be the Women's Champion here at NXT?
It would mean everything This isn't just something I've dreamt about. This is something that I'm prepared for. You know, like when you're a kid and you have that poster in your room and it's a kitten hanging from the branch and it says, hang in there. That's me. I've hung in NXT and I've trained and I've prepared. And I'm going to turn this dream into reality and beat Charlotte to become the new NXT Women's Champion.
Finally, some order around here.
Woo!
Look at the tears in your eyes. This is a huge responsibility. Being the NXT Women's Champion is an honor, and you shut up when I'm talking. I'll say it again. Bailey, you're too nice. If I saw a cat or a kitten in a tree, I'd knock it out and say, oops, life's tough. Welcome to reality. I am telling you now to give up before you embarrass yourself. Be quiet.
Charlotte. You are not taking
me. Are you going to let Bailey talk?
Charlotte, I'm over here. You are obviously not taking me as a threat. I'm coming after you for that championship. And I'm going to win.
Bailey, stick to hugs before I destroy you.
I'm not going anywhere, Charlotte. And I don't even want a hug. I just want to wish you good luck.
She refused to shake hands with her.
I warned you.
Good for Bailey for standing up to the NXT Divas Champion, Charlotte.
Wah, wah, wah. Bailey can say whatever she wants. Come 2 weeks at NXT TakeOver, she gonna bow down to the queen. Well, it seems clear that...
So there you go.
This was a great little segment. The only thing is Charlotte needs a little help with her mic skills.
Yeah, but I like how she worked the crowd.
Oh, I love how she worked the crowd. That was great.
Yeah, yeah. I like this. I like the segment between the girls. I wanted to make sure we had the audio because recapping it wouldn't have done it justice.
Go Bailey, go Bailey.
I'm so pulling for Bailey at NXT TakeOver. She totally.
I love how it's. Sorry, go ahead.
She totally needs to be champ. Anyway.
I love how it's a major insult from her that she doesn't want a hug. It's awesome.
It's like, she's getting serious.
She doesn't even want a hug, y'all. It just got real. Quick, everybody hide. Bailey's getting serious.
Mm-hmm. And when Bailey gets serious, you're gonna get your butt kicked.
Yep, she just took down your former BFF.
With an impressive belly-to-belly suplex.
Yes.
It was very impressive.
I will say this, the one thing I love about NXT is they're women. It's like, oh my god, it's a real women's division, and it's awesome! Sorry.
I need to apologize on that one. Up next, Bull Dempsey, the White Taz, took on the opposite of anything Bull Dempsey, Angelo Dawkins.
No, get it right. He's not Bull Dempsey. He's Luke and Bray's love child.
No, he's the White Taz.
No, he's the Wyatt love child.
He's the White Taz.
But it's funnier if he's the Wyatt love child.
I don't need him to be the Wyatt love child. Cause then
but he looks so much like his father!
The Wyatt love child did an inset promo. before the match began and said, this isn't a game, this is real life. You can stay hype all you want, but all you are is hype. You're going to need a doctor. You aren't going to need a doctor, you're going to need a priest. When basically he runs into the wrecking ball, and the last thing you will hear is bull, bull, bull.
Oh, the bull.
No, they already have that. He's short, he's named El Torino. He's very horny.
So follow the ball?
That doesn't sort of work.
I don't know, then. We're going to have to work on this catchphrase. Anyway, Wyatt Lovechild.
So the Wyatt Lovechild, a.k.a. the White Taz, beat up on Angelo Dawkins for a very long time. Dawkins went for a sunset flip. Bull sat down on his chest. He lifted up, big knees, knee drop, continued to stop away. Dawkins fired back a little bit. But the Wyatt Lovechild came back with right hands, big elbow. Actually, Dawkins came back with the right hands and a big elbow, and then came charging in, but got the bulldozer as the Wyatt Lovechild, Bull Dempsey, wrecks another human being in Angelo Dawkins.
Poor Angelo Dawkins. Totally calling him the Wyatt Lovechild now. So much more fun.
So the French guys talk some stuff. Basically, they accepted the challenge, be hair or be square, so it was. But they were talking a lot of French. I didn't know what was going on.
Merci.
Si, senor? Si, senor?
Yo no hablo French.
Yes. Anyway, this brought us to the main event. Anyway, LaForte accepted the promo, the challenge from so it's hair versus hair at NXT TakeOver.
This is getting real. I mean, first we've got Bailey getting serious. Now we've got hair versus hair. Somebody's beard got shaved this week. Or last week. I mean, they're getting serious down there.
They are getting serious. Which leads to our main event. Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn taking on Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd.
In a very long main event.
Very long main event. Neville and Zayn worked well together early on. Bunch of double teaming working over Tyler Breeze. The double stop to the back was very nice. Kidd caught, came running in, got caught by Zayn, got slammed down, and then Zayn was on his knees. Neville leaped off the back and did a corkscrew splash on the Kidd, which was very, very nice.
I would agree with that.
Kidd came, got, eventually became the lead man, took out Zayn with a big, Neville with a big kick, and we went to break. Breeze and Kidd took over from there as we came back. They worked over Neville for a while. Kidd laid in some hard kicks and knees to the NXT champion. Neville made the hot tag. Zayn came in to run it with a clothesline, some drop kicks, and slingshot a Breeze into the ring. Hit a Michinoku driver for a two count. Kidd came back and hit a big move for a two count. Breeze got tagged in. Zayn hit the exploder suplex on him into the turnbuckles. Neville got tagged in at one point, hit the springboard dropkick, and then a running 450. Shooting star, I should say, rather. I don't know, think about it. Kidd broke it up. Breeze and Kidd tried to do a double team. They collide. Roll up by Neville for a two count. Neville hits a big kick, goes to the top rope. Breeze gets to his feet, knocks him off the top rope. Zayn, though, comes charging in, hits the running Yakuza kick on Neville by mistake, knocking him out. Breeze and Kidd were arguing. Kidd shoves Breeze out of the way. Shoves Breeze into the blue thunderbomb by Zayn. But then he tossed Zayn out of the ring. And then Kidd pinned Neville. So your winners, Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd after the match. Zayn came running and hit the Yakuza kick on Tyson Kidd, knocking him out. All three men are down. Zayn stares, holds up the title to close out the show.
Is it really wrong that I wanted Sami Zayn to go, it's mine, it's mine, ha ha ha, it's all mine, and he runs away with the title?
No, that would have been kind of awesome.
I wanted him to do the Daffy Duck. I really did. Especially where he's, like, holding that title. It's like, dude, just, you know, run away with it. Just, like, take it with you.
Just go.
Nemo can't catch you, dude. You're taller than him.
And he's kind of on his back at the moment. So you're good.
You got a running start on him.
So, fun main event. You could tell it's going to be a fun title match coming up.
Oh, yes, I would agree with that. I mean, when you have these four people in the ring that can do what they can do, yeah, this is going to be really, really good. I expect a lot of high-flying moves, a lot of acrobatics, and a lot of fast-paced matches. I'm really curious to see, especially, what Breeze can do. Because we've kind of gotten a taste of it before, but this is really a chance for him to kind of showcase his stuff.
I would agree with you there. So it'll be interesting to see when it's live in 2 weeks. NXT TakeOver 2 on the WWE Network for
$9.99.
There you go.
So, I say we take our second break of the evening.
Second and final break of the evening.
Yes, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about TNA's TV deals. Yes, I said deals because there might be another one on the table. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the end of Monday Night Raw and Monday Night Raw in general because we did not get to do the post-show this week. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead. Enter it in your website address. Fucking go to it. Even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook. Search up at the top Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston Badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jonathan! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins out! He just got the Ambrose! After he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I'm Santi Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com. We are back from the last break of the evening, and I say we jump right into Tweet of the Week.
Well,
kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alright, so Eric Rowan, to follow up his brilliant tweet of driving north.
He's driving west now, isn't he?
No. The
east?
World's. No. The world's so different in the daylight.
The world's so different.
Ever the poet, Eric.
The world is so different in the daylight. Okay.
James Storm.
Okay.
James Storm. James Storm, will you sign my baby? Matt Hardy.
Wait. Why is someone asking? Who is he? Someone asked him that, or is he trying to sign babies?
I think somebody asked him that.
Okay.
Matt Hardy, I'm pretty sure that James Storm is starting a cult.
He
to
is.
Which somebody.
He is.
To which somebody replied, "It's not a cult. It's a revolution." Dude, that's what Bray Wyatt says, okay? That's gimmick infringement.
Well, technically that is what James Storm called it.
A cult?
No, a revolution.
A cult is a cult. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah. And his first member of his new gang is the Great Sonata. Or, as Lindsay called him?
Japanese Gold Dust.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, when he has the same paint job as Goldust, it's a little hard. Anyway, John Cena. Success is the result of perfection, hard work, learning from failure, loyalty, and persistence. Colin Powell. Little Currybaugh? Hope I said that right. At John Cena. I don't remember Colin Powell getting suplexed 16 times in a row. And that's all I got.
Betty fucking White, dear catalogs, when you say quote unquote or current resident, I wonder how seriously you're taking this relationship. She has a point. Someone asked Paige a question. I'm getting my first tattoo tomorrow. What should it be? Her reply, a camel on your big toe. This is where we now go into the award shows and Rockstar Spud. The next few are going to be Rockstar Spud, so be warned. What's an anaconda? Also, that's one of the biggest bottoms I've ever seen. Hashtag VMAs 2014. Just a bunch of makeup plastered everywhere, isn't it? Hashtag VMAs 2014. Rockstar Spud continues. He's going on about a bunch of people in horses at Snoop Dogg. Round of applause for at Katy Perry and her tremendous gimmicks on the random award for doing stuff. Hashtag VMAs 2014. Rockstar Spud. Random comedian guy that isn't Usher could have dressed up a bit, surely. Hashtag VMAs. The backstage camera is the same as in Samuel Shaw's apartment. Hashtag VMAs 2014. Rockstar Spot continues, your bottom is like a shelf at Nicki Minaj. I found out what an anaconda is. Please keep away from giant snakes for your own safety. He continues, those bloke suits with Swifty at Taylor Swift 13 have nothing on mine. Hashtag VMAs. You are nominated because you are a man. Quote unquote, what a rip. Hashtag VMAs. He continues, Lloyd and his mate from Dumb and Dumber. Lloyd is made from Dumb and Dumber. They were funny. At Mr. Pectacular likes Jim Carrey, even if he did just trip and fall. Hashtag VMAs. Yes, Usher, at Usher, come on, lad. Pop your collar. Act like you did in the faculty. You were awesome in the faculty. Hashtag VMAs. So they're off the spud from VMAs. Going back, Tyler Morris and Michael Jackson's hologram was going to make an appearance at the VMAs, but there was a radius clause with the Kids' Choice Awards. Ouch. Tommy Dreamer, next time I see Rockstar Spud, I am going to break his fingers so he can't live tweet. Stop filling up my timeline, you penis-shaped man. Don't hate on Rockstar Spud, Tommy. Spud's awesome. Tommy Dreamer, I'm officially old because I don't know who most of the people are on the VMAs, but I see big butts are popular, so I will accept my award. Tyler Morrison, MTV fact, when not on stage, twerking Nicki Minaj's ass, acting as a seat filler for rows 1 through 5. Hashtag VMAs. Not SportsCenter, did you know you can't win a Super Bowl in Madden with the Browns or Jaguars? If you try to play a Super Bowl with either, the game explodes. Tommy Dreamer, my microwave died. Now I'm getting a new kitchen. How the fuck did that happen? And these are the hashtag worst college mascots. The USC Broken Trojans. University of Phoenix Mailer Demons. BYU Sister Wives. The Florida Semen Holes. And then we have Ethan Carter III. He tweets, "Hey, best friend," in quotations, "at Rockstar Spud. Today's to-do list. Clean my bathtub," quote, parenthesis, messy, "paint a picture of Rhino crying. Go draft my TNA fantasy team, fantasy football team." He replied, "I have my personal artist on this right now, sir." Big E goes, "Wait." Tyson Kidd tweeted, "A true pro always brings their gear." "Wait," Big E replied, "are we calling them we aren't calling them outfits anymore?" And finally, ProWrestling.net, "A confused TNA fan thinks he's watching a long arrest angle on Spike TV with a new heel who wears a wife-beater t-shirt and yells at the cops." And that's Tweet of the Week. So I guess we're doing something else now? Or she's left me alone. I don't know. Or she has her mic.
Yes, I've left you alone, or I haven't unmuted
your mic.
Yeah. You know, it helps if you unmute things, especially if I don't mute it in Skype. So, shall we talk WWE, or shall we talk TNA?
Let's talk some TNA.
All right.
So, where do you want to begin with this whole TNA story?
Well, to kind of backfill, in case you haven't heard, you're new to the show, whatever, TNA's having a little bit of trouble with their Spike TV deal. It was announced last week that it has been extended to the end of the year, and then after the end of the year, they're going on a week-by-week basis with Spike, and the assumption with that is that Spike is trying to keep them on TV for their own benefit, as well as TNA's, until TNA can find another TV deal, as it seems Spike is completely uninterested in re-signing TNA.
Correct.
So that's the backstory on that. But what came out this week, and what Dixie has actually hinted at, is Dixie sent out a tweet saying that there were other networks interested in TNA, but there were no bites as of yet. Well, now it's kind of come out that they might have a nibble on the line.
Nothing's confirmed, and Velocity made the channel is Velocity. It's part of Discovery. They made a comment, "We cannot comment," yada, yada, yada. What they always do. But Velocity is a channel on a handful of cable systems, Dish Network and DirecTV. It is in half the market homes of, available as Spike. I believe it's in about 52 million homes. Nationwide.
Something like that, yeah.
Compared to the over 100 that Spike's in. Something to that nature. And to be fair, Velocity is not a channel that many people watch.
I didn't even know it existed before now.
Apparently it's a car channel of some sort. This is what happens when we do research on it. There's a car channel, and they have a lot of car programming. And we both realized, oh, hey, we both have the Velocity channel, so we can still watch Impact. that's that. But here comes the things with going to a channel like that. You gotta cut budget.
Oh, yes.
If TNA were to accept this deal to bring Impact Wrestling TV to the Velocity channel, they're going to have to slice production costs mostly in half, even more so than it currently is, and they would have to cut the talent roster in half as well. A number that's been floated around is, I believe, $3 to $4 million they would be willing to pay TNA to for a year's worth of programming. Which, if you break down the math, you do. I went off the number 3 million, so you go 3 million divided by 52 gets you around 57,000 and change per episode. That's before UTA takes their cut.
And they get 15%.
They get 15% of whatever the deal is. So you could be down to about 40 grand per episode, which is down from the 65,000 per episode per hour they get now, which is 130 per episode. That's kind of interesting. We should mention this segment is brought to you by TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
Yes, we can't forget them.
Can't forget them. Yeah, this is not... It's good that they have a backup plan. It's good that they have somebody interested to keep the show on the air. But what would the show be at this point?
It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't situations for them.
Uh-huh.
They need to stay on TV. They are desperate to stay on TV. Spike is clearly not interested in keeping them on TV. And unfortunately for TNA, there are really no other networks out there that are interested in carrying pro wrestling. They're just not. That was made abundantly clear when WWE was shopping their deal. And if WWE can't sell their stuff, then TNA is kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So that's bad news for them trying to shop their deal, especially since Spike is no longer interested in carrying wrestling. The upside to this is that it keeps them on TV. It keeps them in the U.S. market. It's making them money. The obvious downside is it's less eyes on their product, and it's less money, significantly less money, than what they were making with Spike. And TNA is already hurting in terms of production, in terms of talent.
In terms of office, people.
In terms of office. I mean, he'll probably get angry at me for saying this. I'm not going to drop his name, but I had a friend who worked for TNA who got fired this week because they were cutting staff.
We talked about
he worked in the offices. We talked about him last week?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jimmy Jason James, whatever you want to call him, merch guy for TNA, worked there for years, was really one of their main people on the road. I'm going to go ahead and talk him up a little bit since we're going to go ahead and drop his name.
He's an awesome dude, and he put out a tweet earlier today talking about how he had a great time working for the company over the last 7 years.
Oh, and he did. He had a ball. I can confirm that. He was one of their main people on the road. He ran their merchandise on the road. He's actually responsible for how they do a lot of their merchandising now. He kind of helped revamp Shop TNA and tried to help breathe new life into it. He took over after Don West left, and he did a tremendous job while he was there. And it's just something unfortunate that I'm sure they didn't want to let him go. I don't know the full stipulations of it, but he was let go. There were people that were let go in production, in the graphics side of things. So they're starting to get rid of key people, or people that they need, especially people from the road.
They're working very bare bones at this point. And to even go even farther, after the tapings here in September and the Bound for Glory pay-per-view in October in Japan, currently is the keyword, there's nothing on the books for the company.
That's not a good sign. mean, I love TNA. I really want to see them succeed and make it. But I don't know at this point. I mean, it's... You want them to stay on TV. You want them to get a deal. But is it really worth it if they're going to have to cut everything at least in half to stay on TV and survive? Are they even going to be able to survive with what they're getting?
You look... They would be in a position where... They would be...
Based on...
As we're having a little Skype issue there. They would be in a position where they would be in technically more homes, but more people would be watching Ring of Honor than they probably would Impact.
Yeah, I mean it's not a good situation. It's really like I said, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. It's great that they have another deal. It's great that they're going to potentially stay on TV. That's a wonderful plus for them, and I'm not trying to downplay it at all. But it's something of how much more is this going to hurt the product with them now getting less money and them being in the financial situation that they're already in, which is no secret that TNA is hurting for money. It's really not at this point. It's becoming clearer by the day, actually, how bad things are getting.
Yeah, one of the main things that will probably happen, the talent roster will go very young, and the people who work for the company would have to basically take pay cuts in terms of they'll probably get paid X amount, very little bit amount of money, because again, the company won't be bringing in the same amount of money, and they won't have the production values, they won't be as many big productions, the lighting problem, they probably won't be able to do the lighting as they do it now, because they would need to have trucks bring the lighting that they probably can't afford to bring out anymore, because when you're getting $130,000 per episode, you can sort of, right now, with the way they're taping, is do a bunch of tapings, and you're covered, and you're able to actually afford to do the production they're doing. When you limit the production money, it's going to cut back, and probably the quality of the program will probably take a major, major hit.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it might be something of if they do this, you bring it, I know that they don't want to go back to Nashville. I know they don't want to do that. But it might be wisest to bring everything back to Nashville and honestly go back to, like, say, the fairgrounds. Go back to your roots. That's really the best case scenario, because they could probably rent the fairgrounds for pretty cheap. They, especially now with winter coming, you could set your whole thing back up in there. Do what you can with the building. They did it before. Set everything up. They probably let you leave it there and run your show from there. It's not the best case scenario. You're not out on the road, but you're saving yourself money.
Right. Jersey Girl brought up the question. You wonder if TNA ever thought of doing internet pay-per-view. I'm going to answer this question. Is internet pay-per-view, does anyone do good internet pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Because if you look at all the internet pay-per-views that have been out there, Ring of Honor, for example, they had a very hard time. I know New Japan does... okay. CCW does decent. But again, right, this is going to sound horrible. But it's going to be the way it is. You're catering to 300 people for CCW when you have a million people on TNA's pay-per-view. For TNA Spike TV network, and if you cut it down and count down to amount of people who actually bought the TNA pay-per-views to about 20,000 people, a lot of internet pay-per-views can't handle that sort of stream.
Yeah, unfortunately, TNA just doesn't have the infrastructure available to be able to support that.
You look at a company like Ring of Honor, they've had a whole lot of trouble with internet pay-per-view. And then when they started getting internet pay-per-view correctly, and this is what New Japan was using, and this is what Ring of Honor started using, was Ustream. Well, Ustream has decided to get out of the internet pay-per-view business because they were not happy with... Ustream does not want to handle the commerce of internet pay-per-view anymore because while the streams were good, as we've streamed on Ustream, it's always been fine. And you could stream whatever you want on Ustream. But they got tired of handling the commerce because they would have to hire customer service, and that's not what they want. That's not the business model they're in. So right. A lot of the pay-per-views for New Japan and Ring of Honor that run through Ustream are probably going out the window unless those companies can figure out how to do the commerce on their own. I think Ring of Honor is trying to do that, but at the same time, it's internet pay-per-view is a struggle. It really is. You don't really make a lot of money from it. While the quality may be good, again, you're on a limited basis. Look at the WWE Network. That's internet pay-per-view. They're the only company right now that has figured it out. And even they have problems. If WWE's having problems with their internet pay-per-views, I don't think anyone else has a shot at this point.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of one of the things, I'm sure they have thought about it, and honestly, I would bet that was in the cards at some point, that worst case, we can't get a TV deal. We throw everything up on the website and see what we can do with that. But TNA doesn't have the setup for that. They don't.
Again, they would be sinking more money into something they can't afford.
Yeah, I mean, they need to go into cost-saving mode, especially if they do take this deal. And, you know, if you could probably afford to bring in Storm and Young, because especially if you do go back to Nashville, because they're local. And you pull a lot of the local talent in, they'll work cheap. And you go from there, and because then that way it's like you can have your production people who work in the office available for TV, and you know it's all right there.
Yeah,
you just have to take it across town.
Right, and it's less expense. Less, you don't pay for hotels. Your trucks are not eating up gas from going from Nashville to Pennsylvania or New York.
Yeah, I mean it's just. It's something of they may have to come off the road entirely, which you don't want them to do, but it's they have to save as much money as they can at this point if they're expecting to survive, and that's if they take the Velocity deal. Now, they may re-sign with Spike tomorrow, but if they do, it's going to be for significantly less money because Spike is not willing to pay the $130,000 per episode for TNA. They've already made that very clear. So if TNA re-signs with Spike, it will not be for that amount. I would expect it to be a lot less. And even then, I don't know if that's going to help them or hurt them. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it's great. That's definitely what you want to hear, that they've got other interest and somebody else is potentially going to sign them for a new deal. It's not so great for the money.
And at this point,
and you don't want to see them take a hit like that.
No, you don't. And at this point, since they're basically out of the pay-per-view business, because they only do 4 a year, minus the one night onlys, which don't really generate any sort of traction at this point.
Right.
TV is what's going to keep them alive while they sign the new deals internationally. U.S. is where the money is. And if you get a U.S. TV deal, you keep your exposure. And that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, but only time will tell. We'll see where they go from here. But yeah, just kind of wanted to throw an update out there, have a little bit longer conversation about it, kind of break it down and see what it's going to do for them.
We did math for you people.
Yes, we did math. Are you happy?
1 + 1 = 5?
Not so much.
Aww.
So now we're going to jump into Monday Night Raw. Specifically the end of Monday Night Raw, so I can rant. Aren't you all so excited?
Which is the question tonight, which we'll get into.
Which we'll get into, but also kind of some other things that happened on Raw, including Nikki and Brie Bella's segment.
Oh, okay. So is that where we want to begin with them?
Well, yeah, okay.
Alright, so basically what happened on Monday Night Raw, for those who missed it, and I did, because I had no internet at that point, so it was like, what happened on Raw? And Lindsay was sort of telling me, you have to see this segment. You have to watch the Bellas. So, okay, I make sure the next day I find a copy of Monday Night Raw. So I'm ready to go. And, yeah, you knew it was going to get real when they were arguing over entrance music.
Yep.
Like, Nikki was introduced, and she was that came out first, and Jerry Lawler brought out Brie, and it's like, you couldn't have got your own music? You have to steal, rip off of me still? Really? Is that what you're going to do? And Brie was like, you can have it. I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care. And it was like, the entire thing was, Nikki was calling Brie out on everything, and how she was trying to act like an angel, and you can just... You could just see that she was just reaming into her the entire time. It was tremendous. Really good stuff. You had Brie crying the entire time, trying to, she's not angry at her sister. You can clearly tell she's not angry. She's just upset and she wants to mend fences because they're best friends. And Nikki brought up the fact at one point that, they were holding hands in the womb together. There's a picture of it their mother has. And, you know, it was awesome how much they were going at it. And she brought up how Brie stole all of her boyfriends. Which was
no, great. No, no, the comeback to the holding hands in the womb thing was, well, maybe that was... Like, damn!
Yeah. Then she turned on all her male fans at one point. And then she brought up how Brie's they're saving the earth at log cabins. And now she's, you know... Now, and then she starts taking shots at Daniel Bryan, calling him a goat face, basically, steal all her boyfriends. It was awesome. Nikki owned it. Brie needed a little work, but Nikki, fantastic job.
Okay. I just have to talk about this. Nikki Bella, not the best actress in the world. Definitely not.
No.
But as you said, she owned this. She sold this. Hook, line, and sinker. She's enjoying the crap out of this. You can tell. And you cannot tell me that in that segment there were not some repressed things that came out.
Oh, no. Just, there were.
Yeah. There are some things that it's like you get to act out in this segment that were real. Real feelings, real emotions that came out. I will give all the props in the world to Brie Bella. She can cry on cue.
Yes, she can. According to Nikki, that's the real Brie mode.
That's the real Brie mode is crying, yes. So, anybody that can cry on cue, I have to applaud because there are actually not a lot of people that can do that, me included. So, the fact that you have Brie sitting there crying her eyes out as Nikki is just ripping into her makes it just so raw and so real and just an incredible thing to watch. The acting is not top notch. You don't expect the acting to be top notch, but it's like, this is going to go Maury in a big way, and it did. Like, all we needed was, yeah, you're the father, and it would have been perfect. But this was very well done. Now is the point where Brie needs to get mad. Because she's tried to fix things with Nikki twice. You know, the first time she came out, she got slapped. Nikki was upset. Okay. You had the mediated sit down with Jerry Lawler.
It got ugly.
Nikki
slapped the king, which was awesome. And then Nikki started throwing her shoes at Brie.
And hitting her, and a fight broke out between the two. Mm-hmm. So Brie has extended the olive branch. Nikki has lit it on fire. And now is the point where you're going to have Brie get mad, and you're going to have Brie lash back. And that is something I cannot wait to see.
Now, the negative with Brie is they gave her a lot of words. Brie needs short words. She needs short sentences. Not to be overly wordy. If she's not overly wordy, she's awesome. They try to make her a little too complicated, and that giving fans a little bit of a hard time to get behind her. But when they do, because they will, people will get behind her, because she'll get angry, and she'll get vengeful, and she will want to get back at her sister for tearing the family apart. She will stop being upset, and she will just go at it. And it's like, this is a slow build. Slow build. And it's tremendous. I like it. I like this sort of stuff because it deals with like Total Divas stuff, and I like that stuff. The Rack Extra Total Divas coming soon to a podcast near you.
Yes. Next week.
2 weeks?
2 weeks?
2 weeks. Maybe we might do a special one. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, we have clips, so
we have five clips, so we'll get to that.
This was a wonderful segment on Raw. It was definitely one of the high points. I know either a lot of people liked it or a lot of people didn't like it, just because it's like, oh my god, it's the Bellas. I love that they're giving them a serious storyline. I love the fact that it's not over a boy or clothes or anything that you consider typical girl crap. It is, Nikki is pissed off at her sister. So she did the only thing she needed to do. She cost her sister in the match with Stephanie McMahon. And now you've taken the focus off of Stephanie and Brie and put it on Nikki and Brie, which is what you want to do.
Yes.
And you're really selling this.
Yeah.
Which I love. And I want to see these two go at it. Like, really go at it.
I'm with you on that one.
So, coming to Knife Champions probably near you. But yes, so it's always good to see the great start to a feud. I hope they keep it going. I really do, because I'm interested. Just so, because to me it's not your typical Divas storyline. And the majority of the Divas storylines that we have going on right now are not your typical Divas storylines.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Oh, it is. It really is.
Go, girls.
AJ and Paige on Raw was really good. I'm going to bring that up. That was really good stuff. I liked it. The awkwardness of the hug was tremendous.
I've said it before and I will say it again. You never try to out crazy. And Paige, honey, you have no idea what you've started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's some good stuff there. Can we talk before we get into the Bray Wyatt stuff? I want another positive on this show. Bo Dallas has a Bo Leave button.
Bo, honey, do not taunt Jeff Swagger. He will kill you. Stop.
But he has a pin, a button, whatever you want to call it, on WWE.
And I'm so happy for him that he has a button, but if you keep taunting Jack Swagger, he will hurt you.
Oh, I know, and he will. He's going to get his ass kicked. Trust me, he will.
Then he won't be Captain Mushroom anymore. What are we going to do?
He'll still be Captain Mushroom. He'll just be a very squished mushroom.
Ow.
Yeah, when you think of what's being squished, it's like, all right then. Ow, that mushroom kind of hurts now. But yeah, Lindsay was so excited when she saw this button.
Okay, if you don't know what we're talking about, on WWE Shop this weekend, I believe, they put up the Bo Dallas approved sales, or whatever it is. It was called. I forget what it was, but basically it was Bo Dallas' face in this little round circle, and it was next to all this merchandise that was on sale, including some of Bray Wyatt's stuff, which was hilarious, because it was like, Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas approved.
Yeah. Right.
So, when he came out on Raw, he had a button of this, basically, of his face in the circle, and I about lost it, because I was talking to Rock, and I was like, oh my god, he has a button! And Rock's like, what? I'm like, he has a button!
I'm walking the streets, and she's screaming to me about this button.
It was awesome! I latch on to the most weird things when I watch Raw. When I watch wrestling in general, I just, latch on to the weirdest crap.
And it's kind of awesome, because it's weird and it's awesome.
But yeah, it was just like, oh my god, he has a button. He's approved himself. This is tremendous. But yeah. Bo always makes me smile. It always makes me laugh. And I really hope they don't give up on him, because he's actually really entertaining. I just wish they would turn him heel. Like, for the love of god, let him be the Bo Dallas that he was in NXT, because if you let him be the Bo Dallas he was there, they will boo him out of the goddamn building.
Well, he is kind of heelish now. He is making some heelish actions as of late, so.
Yes, but I'm talking just be the insincere asshole that we all know he can be.
Oh, I know, and he's evolving to that at this point.
But yeah, so Bo is just, yeah.
The Hall of Fame panel was just alright. Sean was being a true dick and telling us John Cena should retire. It was awesome. Beyond that, it was just a segment. let's see. We had Roman Reigns throwing cinder blocks
at Seth Rollins' head.
Which, you know, Triple H was like on WWE.com this week. He's like, maybe we should do something. We should pay attention to Roman Reigns and, you know, he's endangering lives, and maybe he should, some action should be taken against him, because he was trying to kill a man.
Oh, you know, because putting Dean Ambrose's face through a pile of cinder blocks totally wasn't trying to kill him.
No, it wasn't.
Just pointing that out. Of course he's going to be throwing cinder blocks. He's upset.
Yes, he is.
His little buddy got hurt.
And they had a eulogy for Dean Ambrose on Raw.
Okay, I want to go off on the eulogy.
Okay.
10 years ago, okay, or however long ago, Kane buried his brother alive. Twice. Both times, he did a eulogy for his brother.
Uh-huh.
Both times that he did this, he wore his goddamn tights.
And back then it was just tights, not even a top.
Back then it was just tights.
Yeah, not even a shirt.
Well, he did have a pretty world title.
But he wasn't wearing even a shirt.
No, he didn't. He didn't wear a suit, he didn't wear a tie, he didn't wear anything. He wore his tights and his title the second time to the ring. So Monday night happens. They're doing a eulogy for Dean Ambrose. Kane walks his sweet little self out there. What is he wearing? A goddamn suit.
Which technically is his gear at this point because he's corporate Kane.
He's Malibu Kane.
If you haven't seen the WWE Cheap Pops on YouTube, watch it.
I'm calling him Malibu Kane now.
It's kind of
a thing. Y'all need to deal with it.
Yeah, anyway, continue.
So, yeah, it's like, and I start going off because I'm like, wait, so for Dean Ambrose's funeral, he wears a suit. But for his brother, he can't even, you know, find the energy to put one on. Like, what the holy blue hell, dude? Like, come on! Hey, just no love for his brother. None! Although it was a nice suit. But, how people change in 10 years, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, he just walked out in the suit. I'm like, that is so not right. He needs to be in his tights, goddammit. It's Kane. It's a formal event. He needs to be in his tights. He doesn't wear anything else to formal events. I mean, he premiered in the freezing cold in his tights.
Which... True.
Which, by the way, when See No Evil 2 comes out, if he is not wearing his tights on the red carpet, you're going to get another rant. Now, if there's a red carpet.
If there's a red carpet. Other thing, cool things from Raw. Brock Lesnar's promo. Tremendous, that video promo. When they tape stuff with him, just let when you let Brock put it be in a pre-tape environment where they can just clip sound bites together, he's tremendous. I love that he called the Never Give Up from John Cena a bunch of bullshit. It was tremendous. It's a really good use of Brock and Heyman with those videos. They should do a lot more of them because they're actually very effective.
And agreed.
And it keeps Brock around without actually being there. So that was very well done. We had Damian Mizdow.
I want more Damian Mizdow. He does Miz better than Miz does Miz.
Well,
it's really scary.
Well, you're in luck. Mizdow returns on SmackDown.
Yes. So happy?
We had a heel turn from Stardust and Goldust.
Yeah, man, what the hell?
I guess the cosmic key leads them to go heel?
Okay.
I don't know. We had Rusev and Swagger again. Lana didn't get to talk, which was kind of disappointing because Lana's awesome when she talks.
She looked good, though.
She did look good, but she didn't get to talk. And then we had a new finish, the referee stoppage. Which is a cool finish, and it's worth it, but when you go off of what happened to Cena, and then they just stop this for Swagger, it's like, okay. Alright. Okay. I like the idea of a referee stoppage finish, though. It adds more realism to things, but it just comparing it to Brock and Cena, which was 8 days prior, came off a little weak.
Yeah, it was just.
We have a new number one contender, Cesaro, for the U.S. title. And...
okay, no, we need to talk about this, because Sheamus and Cesaro just need to stop flirting with each other and just get together already, because, I mean, seriously, come on. You just... They're flirting with each other. It's blatant. If you don't believe me, go watch it.
Yeah, they
go
are.
Go watch the WWE panel. They flirt with each other.
Have you?
It's
tremendous. Have you seen it?
Yes.
They flirt. It's awesome.
That's why I keep bringing it up. They're flirting with each other. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're flirting with each other. They would actually make a cute couple. Provided they're both go that way.
Let's just give King Kins that official for a second.
Cesaro and Sheamus?
Playing the roles of Randy Orton and John Cena together.
Well, Cesaro's got to go on top.
And there you go. 5, 4, 3. There you go.
Coming to Cards Against Humanity this Saturday night. You know what? That's what you get for your Bray Wyatt comment at the top of the show. Okay? You're now going to go to bed with sweet dreams of Cesaro and Sheamus in your head.
And it's not a bro kick he's giving him anyway.
No, but he's definitely kicking something.
Oh, and now finally to our question tonight. Do you think that, were you okay with how they finished Monday Night Raw and made Cena look like Super Cena because he took on Bray Wyatt and, well, sort of beat down the Wyatt family on Monday Night Raw? Some people were okay with it, and a couple people on the fence like, yeah, I see the point of it, but not. It really weakens Bray Wyatt. Well, now before we get to that, King Kins, Zack Ryder would have to actually be booked for like the Royal Rumble Raw to even, you know, get close to that. But
he
hey,
he's cutting catering.
Yeah. So that leads to, well, Lindsay going. No.
No! Am I okay with it? No, absolutely not. I am not okay with it. I understand the point of it. I understand that they felt the need to book John Cena strong, especially after they feel that some people were losing faith in Cena. But this is my argument. Is it really such a bad thing that people lose faith in John Cena? People have already lost faith in him. They boo him on a consistent basis at every show he goes to. So does it really matter that people lose faith in him? Can't you tell a better story of him trying to win the fans back on this sort of road to redemption story?
Yes.
Rather than having him go, grr, arg, Cena smash, and he destroys Bray Wyatt, who just is coming off a victory with Chris Jericho. And then on top of it, he destroys Rowan and Harper, who at this point are looking weaker than hell. I mean, technically the Wyatt family are your number your number one faction because they're the only faction, but Bray Wyatt's probably your number two or number three heel in the company right now. Is it really the smartest thing to do to job him out like that to John Cena? I say no. It's like, it hurt him. It hurt him so much because it's basically like Cena smash. And he just destroys Bray Wyatt, which, you know, led to the other question, where the fuck was this John Cena when they were actually feuding? Why didn't he show up? Oh, wait, he didn't take it seriously. So, I mean, it just, it's like, if you wanted to book John Cena strong, if you wanted to have him destroy somebody, why don't you book him against somebody, say, like, oh, I don't know, Ryback, who's going off TV for injuries. And that's how you write Ryback off TV, or have him face Rybacksel. Another loss is not going to hurt them at this stage. Like, I get they booked Bray Wyatt against John Cena because they feel Bray Wyatt is a main eventer, but Bray Wyatt isn't a main eventer after that. Like, nobody's going to buy what Bray Wyatt has to say after he and his family got their asses handed to them thanks to John Cena, Big Show, and Mark Henry. Like, nobody's going to believe anything they have to say, which is not what you want. Especially considering the original plan for the show was to have Bray Wyatt lay out Big Show. Do you have an idea how much more fucking impressive that is? To have Bray Wyatt take him out? Especially after he's been beating the kids up for like 3 weeks? That would be way more impressive. It's like you can still book Cena strong. Book him against somebody that can take the ass whooping. If that's what you really want to do. But for the love of God, jobbing him and the family out for the sake of making John Cena good look strong because, oh God, we can't have Cena look weak and human for, you know, any longer than a week, is just stupid. So some people lose some faith in him. Big deal. Let him win it back. Isn't that what he's supposed to be all about?
That's exactly what it's supposed to be about. If you doubt somebody, you put some doubt in some people's minds, like, wow, I don't know if he can do it anymore. I don't believe that he can beat Brock Lesnar. I don't think he can. And then you see him progressively over 3-4 weeks. Well, maybe he's getting stronger. Maybe he can. Maybe he can. You can see him training. Watch him do some training montages. Have him become Rocky and just train and get back into shape. You see him throw out videos of him doing deadlifts and stuff. Put them on Raw. It's like, he's getting stronger. He's getting stronger. Maybe he does have a chance. Maybe he can beat Brock Lesnar. Maybe he can win back his championship. But when you bring him out there and he just goes, hey, I'm John Cena, look at me, I got my ass kicked and yada, 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 but I'm going to kick Brock Lesnar's ass. You said that last time, and it didn't get you anywhere. At SummerSlam, you were supposed to come out, and we were supposed to see a Cena we'd never seen before. And, well, we did. That is true, we did, but not the way you thought. This was the Cena that got his ass kicked, and he got his ass kicked for 18 minutes. Coming to Raw, he should have been selling the injury. He wasn't even selling a beating. He took 16 German suplexes from Brock Lesnar. And he didn't show any signs of injury. Go ahead.
Just to compare this, okay? Brock Lesnar is the man that beat the streak. More importantly, what they alluded to that nobody's picked up on is Brock Lesnar is the man that retired The Undertaker. He beat The Undertaker so bad that he had to go to the hospital that night. And he has not been seen since, save for the Ice Bucket Challenge, on WWE TV. Think about that. We're talking one of the most badass characters in WWE history. Brock Lesnar put him on the shelf permanently. There is video of The Undertaker after the show, where he can barely walk and barely move. Okay? That is the level that Brock Lesnar took The Undertaker to. The man that for 21 straight WrestleManias did not lose. Who was taken to his limit in the past by the likes of Shawn and Hunter. So, keep that in mind. Where you go, you know, several months fast forward to SummerSlam, where Brock Lesnar does the same thing to John Cena. He literally beats John Cena into submission, and Cena's out for a week. He comes back, he's Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, and he's fine. He's not hurting, he's not showing any sign of injuries, and maybe he did recover in a week, but I doubt it. You could have had him showing the effects of that injury, of those injuries that Brock gave to him. You could be show him having those problems, and you're not. It makes Brock look bad doing that. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, yeah, Brock beat Taker, and he beat Taker down, but he didn't seem to have that same effect on Cena, but Cena, you know, still lost. And then on top of it, it's like you have Sean saying, Cena, you can't do it. You can't go anymore. Which is something else entirely. You know, where basically he's doing the same thing he did a few years ago with Taker. You know, it's like you just need to hang it up. You don't have it anymore. You've hit the wall kind of thing. Why not have that get into Cena's head? Why not have that bother Cena? And if you want to do Cena versus Bray Wyatt, fucking let Bray Wyatt win. Let Bray get into Cena's head, because he was in it before. He beat Cena one time, but he beat him by getting into John Cena's head. You have Bray Wyatt do the same thing, and John Cena loses to Bray Wyatt. Now, if Cena beats Wyatt down afterwards, that's okay, because Bray still got his win.
And at the same time, you want to make John Cena look strong. You want Bray Wyatt to get beat up by John Cena, fine. Let John beat him up. But as the match goes on, he gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and that's when Bray Wyatt catches him off guard and pits him with his sister Abigail and beats him in the middle of the ring, because he finally, you know, John Cena is trying to show this tough guy attitude, tough guy, you know, look at me, I'm okay. Maybe he wasn't really okay, maybe he was just trying to mask it all, and it finally catches up on him. That would have been stories like, maybe he's not alright. Maybe, again, doubt. Whenever there's doubt in pro wrestling, you buy it more. You really do. It's more believable that, oh my god, maybe the guy who for 12 years was unstoppable, maybe finally it's catching up to him. Maybe finally somebody can beat him. Maybe John Cena's finally met his match. And guess what? He should have, because it's Brock freaking Lesnar, the one behind the one in the 21-1. Brock Lesnar.
He's not facing Paul Heyman, he's facing Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he's the one in 21-1. He's Brock Lesnar, he's the destroyer, he's the conqueror. He should have been destroyed.
Yeah, and it's the thing with the beatdown. And this is, you know, this is one long rant. This is basically ripping the end of Raw apart. It wasn't even that impressive. It's like the match with Bray, he did what he could. He really did. And I'm talking about Bray. He really tried. And basically, Cena went out there the same beating to Bray that Brock did to him. It just was not as impressive because Cena's just suplexing Bray. And the way Cena throws a suplex versus the way Brock throws a suplex, they're not even in the same stratosphere. It's just, it did not look as impressive. It did not look as good. Maybe some of it was on Bray. Maybe he wasn't jumping hard enough. But Cena wasn't getting him over his head either. Cena was having a hard time lifting him and throwing him. Whereas Brock could pick somebody up like Bray and throwing around like a rag doll, because Brock is just freakishly strong. And Cena is freakishly strong as well, but as Rock pointed out the other night when we were talking about it, he's strong in the sense that he can lift things over his head and onto his shoulders, but not necessarily throw them behind him, as it were.
Yeah, he's not that limber at this point, especially since he has some nagging injuries catching up with him. That's part one of the ending of the Raw. Then it turned into a six-man tag team match, and all the boys got involved. And the match ended with someone tapping out, which we'll get to. I'll let you go off in a second. Then after Can I finish?
Yeah, good. Just go.
And then Cena hit AAs on Eric Rowan and Bray Wyatt. And, like, again, Bray Wyatt, John Cena hanging in AA, we've seen it 1,000 times, and it's not that impressive anymore, especially when people kick out of it all the time, people get up from it. It's not as devastating. If it was put through, like, the German announce table or the regular announce table, that would have been cool. That would have been impressive. It's like, okay, there's a fire in John Cena. Put Bray Wyatt through the announce table, bam, now you're sold. Now I would be okay with it, because you're letting John Cena explode into something. But it was regular AAs to Rowan and Bray, and then Luke Harper tapped out before that. And, yeah, that was not kosher, yo.
Now?
Yeah, go.
Why would you have Luke Harper tap out? Why? As Kane Kittens point out, the Wyatts don't tap. Or rather, they shouldn't tap unless it's an extreme circumstance. Again, these are the people that are supposed to be the physical manifestation of a nightmare in your company. They're supposed to strike terror into everybody's hearts. They, and to his credit, Luke Harper is a fairly scary looking dude. Why would you have him tap out, especially given what he is capable of doing? We have seen Luke Harper work. We know he can take a lot more punishment than what he tapped out of. So again, I ask, why would you have Luke Harper tap out to Cena? It is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my life, and it should have never happened. And that's even including the streak. Just pointing that out. It made them look so bad, it wasn't funny. It's just like, why? Why would you... It's like, if it ends on a DQ, fine. The Wyatts are okay. If it ends with a pin, that's fine. To have Luke Harper tap out is not okay. If you want to have Cena look impressive, if you want to have Cena look strong, again, you have him beat Luke Harper down.
Or here's the thing. If Luke is going to tap, make it a struggle.
Yeah, make it a struggle. Have him be in it for longer. Have him try to get out of it, and Cena puts him back in it. Have Cena weaken him down. Those kinds of things. But to just have him tap out like he did, where there was no real fight, there was no real struggle, which there's a lot of fight in Luke Harper, was just really bad looking. And then, like Rock said, after the match, you had Eric get AA'd, and you had Bray get AA'd, which, again, Eric and Bray can take a lot more punishment than that. I know they can. I've seen it. I saw it Sunday. So why would you have Cena be able to put Bray down with an AA? It's a little ridiculous to stretch your imagination to that point. I'm sure it's fully capable, but it's very ridiculous. And it's something of, you know, you want to have Cena beat Wyatt up? You want to tell a different story with Cena? Have Cena finally lose control. Where Bray started the process of bringing that monster out of Cena, and Brock finished it. Where Brock makes Cena snap, and he loses control, and he just starts going off. Where he can't keep those emotions that he bottles up in check anymore. And he vents his frustration through going after people. Then it's okay to have him beat down the Wyatt family. Then it's okay because, you know what, you put them through the table. That's impressive, as Rock pointed out. To just AA them in the middle of the ring... It's like, okay, I've seen you do that 100 times before, now Bray get up and kick his ass. It was bad. To me, it was beyond bad on all levels. It just did not do anything for me. And again, it's, oh, hey, look, it's Super Cena. God forbid he be human for more than a week. Like, I don't understand WWE's complete and utter fear of having John Cena look human. I really don't. It's like, this is the guy who is the face of your company. He is the hero to millions of kids everywhere, yes. But even heroes trip and fall. And the important message to send is what that hero does to pick themselves back up. What that hero does to endure and go on and carry on and make themselves right again. Those are the kinds of stories that you want to tell, because that's how you grow new fans. Is kids see that. People see that kind of thing and say, hey, I can get behind this guy. He's been where I've been. You know, he's been down on his luck, but he picked himself back up and he moved forward. Great example, Jake Roberts. How many people have gotten behind him since he's been on his road to redemption, where we finally have seen him overcome addiction and all his demons, overcome cancer, to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, to show back up in WWE again, to go from literally dying to being in the Hall of Fame. That's an inspiring story. Those are the kinds of stories that you want to tell. Why can't you tell that with Cena?
You could.
That would be way more entertaining. It's like we said this the first time Cena faced Brock. Why don't you send Cena on a losing streak? Why don't you have Cena doubt himself? And then Cena has that epiphany moment where it either comes from a kid or it comes from within, where it's, no, I can't give up because I never give up. Hustle, loyalty, and respect and all that crap. And he picks himself up and he starts to move forward and he works his way back through, back to the top. Why can't you do that? Why can't you show that story? I mean, again, it's like, I don't understand WWE's need to keep him like he is. Why can't you grow him as a character and as a person? Why? Why can't you tell a different story with him? I don't understand it. And more specifically, I don't understand why you would take somebody you're trying to build, like Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, and sacrifice them to Cena yet again, for the second time in 2 months. Because we all know that the Cena storyline with Bray got sacrificed so Cena could win the title because Bryan got hurt. Fine. Whatever. I'm not particularly happy about it, but I understand the necessity of it. This, there was no call for it. There was no reason. If you want to have Cena beat down someone, like I said, there are plenty of people in the back that can take that beating and he would look just as impressive. Or not as impressive as the case may be right now. It's like the thing that you've done is you've made what happened on Sunday for Bray completely irrelevant. You've shot him in the foot. And now you got to figure out a way to unshoot him, basically. As for Cena, it just makes Brock look stupid. It makes what happened on Sunday look stupid, because it's like it's an unbelievable standard that, oh yeah, you take an ass-kicking of a lifetime, and in a week you're fine. That's not realistic. Brock gave him basically a UFC-style beating. Those guys aren't fine in a week. They're not even fine in a month. They go 2-3 months in between fights. So you actually expect me to believe that John Cena is completely, totally, 100% okay after that? I don't think so. It's like, for the love of God, have him show the beating. Have him sell it. Have him have a hard time walking, because it's like he got suplexed 16 times, which means he got dropped on his head and his neck and his shoulder 16 times. He got knees to the ribs. He got punched in the face. And we didn't even see the Kimura. And F5 twice. I mean, think about that. He didn't even have to use the Kimura lock, which is terrifying. It's just like, why? I guess the big question to the end of Raw is why? Why could they not sell this in general? It's like, if you're going to have John Cena, it's like, it was a great move to keep Cena off TV last week. Fantastic move. Would have worked again this week. You know, maybe have Cena do something from his home. Maybe have Cena do some, you know, the via satellite routine. Or a pre-taped interview with him. Whatever. Why couldn't you have done that? It's just their handling of it. It just makes my head hurt. Anyway, I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
I have nothing to add. She's right. It's why can't you make John Cena vulnerable? Superman always looks, at times Superman looks vulnerable, and when he fights back, it's awesome.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Kane Kittens points it out in the chat. You know, even Hogan lost to Taker and Slaughter and the like, and he had to fight back. Even Hogan looked weak. And it's true. Every top star at some point or another has looked weak, and they have fought their way back into the limelight, into the spotlight, except for John Cena. I can't recall in recent memory a feud where he's done that in.
Even when he got beat down by the Nexus, he was back to being happy-go-lucky.
Oh, God, don't get me started on the Nexus. They fucked that storyline so hard. But, yeah, I mean, it's Cena. It's super Cena. And that's the thing. And I told Rock this. I'm like, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Cena doesn't walk into Night of Champions and wins the title back from Brock. Would not be surprised at all if that happens, because it's fucking Cena. That's all you need to say, is it's Cena. And that's what's truly frustrating. It's like, have him be weak. Have him go on a losing streak, because guess what? We all lose. We all get down on our luck. We all have problems. It's not believable to think that everything always goes John Cena's way. It's just not.
It shouldn't. It's not real.
And for the love of God, you don't do it with a guy that you're trying to build.
Yeah, that, you know. that would be kind of helpful.
Yeah, that would be totally helpful, but, you know. So we're going to have to see what they do from here in terms of Bray. We're not going to get into what happened on SmackDown, but... Yeah, I don't know. They need, in terms of Bray, he's going to need some TLC after this. The tender loving care, not the tables, ladders, and chairs.
Oh my!
Yeah, so, as for Cena, he's super Cena, and they'll continue to build him, and even though they really don't need to, it's like, and that's the other thing about it, is Cena can take a loss like that. Like what he suffered. And really not be affected by it. Like, everybody was actually happy to see John Cena lose. Everybody was happy to see him get his ass whipped. Because it's what we expected, it's what we paid for, and that's what they gave us.
Pretty much.
So it's like everybody's totally okay with it. It doesn't diminish John Cena. It doesn't make him look bad. It's just he underestimated Brock and he got his ass kicked because of it. And everybody's totally fine with it. But it's like John Cena now, it's like, oh, well, John Cena has something to prove because he got his ass kicked by Brock. So he's going to go out there and he's going to, you know, beat up Bray Wyatt. Which, you know what, he shouldn't be able to do.
You know what,
given his physical condition.
You know what, John Cena... You know what John Cena should have been doing? He should just have been interrupting stuff. He should have just came down during a random match and beat up people. Because it's like, I can't take it anymore. Don't be by the books. Make it something happen. Go and just break up a Fandango and Curtis Axel match. Or Adam Rose match. And just beat up people because you're frustrated and you just want to explode. Because you're pissed off that you got your ass beat. You're embarrassed.
Yeah. And you know what? Have Paul Heyman there going, poke, 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 poke. Oh, am I bothering you yet? Poke.
Which is what Paul Heyman is best at.
Yeah, but we'll have to see where they go from here and how they take it from here. But yeah, I know I'm kind of in the majority, and I think Rock is as well, that a lot of people were not okay with the ending of Monday Night Raw. At all, and when the original plans for it came out, it was kind of like, why didn't you go with that?
I should mention that this. The views and opinions by Lindsay Ward on The Rock are heavily endorsed by Sir Rocket.
You suck up.
Well, you said everything I've said over the last 2 days, so.
Several times.
Several times, so.
So, yeah. There's our thoughts on Monday Night Raw, there's our thoughts on TNA, and there's our thoughts on wrestling in general. So, I think we're done.
I say we're done for the evening, yeah.
So, well, plug stuff.
Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. There's one blame, Rob. It's been a slow week, but we have some scares in the works, so hopefully those don't go the way we hope they don't, but, you know. Hopefully those people pull through. We'll have a review of the Emmys and the VMAs. Probably play a game of some sort. Who knows? It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, than usual. Follow the show on Twitter, @CBRadioWTR, on Facebook.com, Instagram, and some bananas. If Tim makes it back all right, we'll have Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. I'll follow that show on Twitter, @WTRSundayNight, at Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. It's Labor Day, so no show. No post show. This last week we were supposed to do a show, but I had no internet. But this was the actual plan, no show day, so no Raw post show this Monday night. But we'll be back Thursday night for another edition of the Rack live at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow this show on Twitter @WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. You can follow me on Twitter @WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Check out WTRProductions.com. If you're in the fantasy leagues, draft is Saturday. At this point, we may move it to Tuesday. I'm not 100% sure yet. So keep an eye on the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Yeah, that's about it.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter @LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to our website, psychwarddesigns.com. It's now working again! Yay! If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard. Same as the Twitter, there are links to get to my Behance on my website, on the main page, and under the gallery section. So just go check that out. Of course, listen to The Rack every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, as well as all the other fine programming on this network, because we all work very hard, and we don't get paid to do this. Also, can't forget at our wonderful sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. Gotta stress, you know, the wrestling part. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Come.